Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh, come on, England, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller. Luke Moore's here.
Hot and nervous.
Jimmy Campbell.
Lions, please.
Peter Donaldson.
We're going to hammer them.
Isn't it hot, guys?
We started the show twice because I didn't click record. Oh. It's so hot, my brain has melted, and my usual professional demeanour has slipped from me somewhat.
It's like a snake skin.
It's
most unlike you, Peter.
I know, right?
Does anyone here know whether it's the outside temperature making us hot or the fire burning in our hearts for England later?
I've got a fire in my heart for you.
They wouldn't be very happy with that, would they?
The super fairies.
Being patriotic with Welsh. But who cares?
The man don't give a flip.
Yeah, they're not here. No. We are,
well,
still.
We'll talk a little bit about England later on in the show.
Yeah.
We have to start with the tactical whiz man that is Roberto Martinez. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that, Billy Whiz of tactics.
Yes, often derided.
Yeah, no, he's still not getting any credit, is he, really?
No. I feel sorry
often
for him.
Derided from
Luke Moore.
By several members of this parish.
Not I.
No, me, yeah. I think that I've probably been the most stringently critical of him.
You've got to hand it to him.
Yeah.
You have to hand all of it to him.
Well, what he was always very good at doing at Wigan and Everton was the attacking side of the game, getting that working very well. And he's got such a wealth of talent there, particularly everywhere, that it's almost like the defence can take care of itself. So they don't.
But Jim, Belgium were just beaten Brazil, and two of their midfield players were Nasser Chadli and Marouan Fellaini. There has to be some sort of tactical.
Did anyone see Marouan Fellaini playing like that though? In a quarterfinal of the World Cup.
I would say, I mean, I've got to be honest and say, Martinez got it right yesterday and they looked really, really good, especially in the first half. And buoyed by a unplayable performance by Romelu Lukaku. It was one of the best forward performances in the World Cup I can remember seeing.
His build-up play for the second goal. He's on for the golden ball. Amazing.
And rightly so. If they win the tournament, then fair enough. I mean, him, Hazard and De Bruyne all stepped up. But Fellaini... Well, I mean, again, as you've alluded to, guys, was decent and is such a danger in both penalty areas.
Mm, yes.
We talked about Uruguay being strong in both penalty areas, obviously with different players. Fellaini, I mean, he seems to send like otherwise experienced, good defenders like mad.
Yeah.
But the prospect of what he might
do. They're sort of taken back to the schoolyard or back to like Sunday League and they go, oh God, he's massive.
Yeah.
And they just lose any kind of... tactics in their brain.
The support staff at Brazil, the first thing they needed to do this morning was just knock on Miranda's door and check he's all right because he's been pulled all over the place by Lukaku all game.
Yeah.
And he's a man who's spent a lot of time in the same penalty area as Marouan Fellaini.
Indeed, yeah.
It can be a troubling experience.
The match was very open from the start.
Yeah, I suppose see that happening.
No, I suppose the surprise for me was... Well, not really, actually. I thought there was going to be more than three goals. I think when I saw when you saw the first kind of 20 minutes or something, you thought this could be a 4-3 or something. But then, of course, Belgium quite rightly played very defensively and just shut up shop a bit more in the second half.
That was a masterclass as well, the way they did that. And having Lukaku as an outlet with De Bruyne and Hazard, the players, to sort of slip balls through to him should they need. I mean, it's hard to imagine a better front three for even that, even with the sort of... attacking gusto that they show. If they want to shut out a game, then those three players are perfect outlets for that.
Do you think Belgium have just been underestimated by a lot of people because of their disappointments in the last?
Yeah, I absolutely
two,
do.
Two
well, and because, and because the manager is Roberto Martinez, who would be seen at international level as an unfashionable manager.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, international management is a very different thing from club management as well, isn't it? It's especially modern international management. It's almost like a different thing. He's surprisingly young for an international manager as well.
He is. Was it fair to say, Jim, that Belgium got a lucky break?
They certainly did, didn't they? From Fernandinho's neck, I'm going to say.
It was arm, was it?
Was it his arm, his neck?
According to Danny Murphy, it was his bicep.
Do you know what it reminded me of slightly was when... Brazil played the Netherlands, excuse me, in 2010.
Yeah,
I think you said 11 then.
Yeah, with Arjen Robin.
No, with Wesley Sneijder. What was his name? Felipe Melo, was it, who scored an own goal? It might have been Melo. But anyway, they scored an own goal when they were on top. They were 1-0 up in the first half, and they were on top, and they were playing with confidence and so on and so forth. And when that own goal went in, they completely crumbled and the Dutch scored and made it 2-1. Obviously, a little bit different to what we're talking about here. But when that own goal went in, because I think it was so calamitous in one sense, unlucky, you know, wasn't... You can't blame Fernandinho too much. There's a few ricochets in
it.
No, it was
unlucky. Yeah, yeah.
So it was unlucky. And Brazil, they'd gone into that game with a bit of confidence and so on and so forth. I don't think they really fully recovered from that. I mean, the scoreline would testify to that. But they did look, I think Brazil actually are quite a nervy side. And I don't think maybe we give them, or we don't realise that enough, because apart from this tournament, the Germans are very calm. And the Spanish in some recent ones are quite calm as well.
Spanish are too calm.
Yeah, well, yeah, you'd argue. Whereas I think Brazil, if it starts to go against them, then it rapidly goes against
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. Well, I think they were the better team until the goal, and it was slightly against the run of play, but I don't think you can argue that they were at any point the better team after that, which sort of you know plugs into what you're saying, I suppose. But I think they're an emotionally led side, Brazil, aren't they, because so much hinges on them in terms of, you know, the people back home and what they expect from Brazil. And this is
It's a really interesting time for not just Brazilian football, but for South American football. So as we discussed before, we're already on the longest run of World Cups without a South American winner. And that's before this tournament as well. So it's guaranteed to be the case now because it's just European sides left in it. Is it the case that the young talent has been leaving too young for too long at this point?
And we've heard about that on the continent.
Could South America be a busted flush? Will it take a generation for this to start working again?
The only exception you'd imagine would be Uruguay, who've very deliberately and very obviously made their under-20s and their age group teams a priority. And that's what we're seeing younger players coming through. I think not just with South American sides, but with more what you would call unfashionable European leagues as well. We heard about it on the continent. Andy would say that, whereas Dutch players would leave early 20s, they're now leaving at 17, 18, and there's no chance for them to really... They don't play as much, blah, blah, blah. So, and that affects the national team. I thought that...
Just to mention on the point about South America, could you argue that South America overachieve, considering the resources they have? Europe has so much more resources, population-wise. Uruguay, tiny population. Okay, Brazil, Argentina, Colombia, sizable populations. But considering a lot of their talent goes, their leagues at home aren't particularly strong, you know, often allegations of sort of corruption and so on. And on another day, the ball would have dropped for Brazil, they'd have gone through.
You can read too much into that, perhaps. Well, look at the way Colombia played against England. They've only got themselves to blame. They could have come out and actually made a fist of it, but they didn't.
If Colombia had come out to play, I genuinely, looking back on it, I've watched the game back, I think they probably would have won.
With James Rodriguez in there, you'd have...
For sure. But on that point, Marcus, just to follow up very briefly, the best players in the world play in Europe. That's not me being sort of Eurocentric and sort of small-minded. The best players play in Europe. The biggest clubs, in terms of finances and all that kind of stuff, are in Europe. So that is, by definition, I think, the crucible of where the best football is played. And I see your point about maybe the South American teams are overachieving. I think certainly teams like Uruguay are massively overachieving, obviously. I mean, and someone like Peru to even be there would be seen as an overachievement given their resources and their population and stuff. Jim said something interesting to me yesterday during the Brazil-Belgium game where you said that you thought Belgium really well and truly deserved to win.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think I sort of do agree, but only to a lesser extent, because Brazil were knocking on the door big time in the second half. They had 27 shots, as lots been made of that.
Yeah. Fellaini kept answering, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but yeah, he did, exactly. But I think they deserve credit for being defensively very solid. But they, in terms of formation, Belgium matched Brazil. I find it odd that they played, and I said this earlier in the tournament, so I'm not just saying it because he had a bit of an anonymous game this time around. I don't see why you play Jesus ahead of Firmino in that type of game. Firmino's, I think, has got a lot more on his locker and he's a lot more of a focal point. And also, I think they also struggle a bit from, which is odd because they look like such a settled side coming into the tournament. They play Coutinho deeper and don't play Renato Augusto, who's more naturally in that position because they want to squeeze Willian, Neymar and Coutinho in the same team. And that's their best way of doing it. We saw France have a problem with that earlier on, trying to squeeze Dembélé and Mbappe in. And now Deschamps just made the choice just to drop Dembélé. And then they look a lot more balanced as a result. So you wonder, I know it's easy to be wise after the event, you wonder whether they made some sort of selection errors there. But to be perfectly fair, I mean, Lukaku's all-round game in that. I mean, definitely for a half and possibly for a bit longer than that, he was unreal. Absolutely unreal. I mean, and you look at all the obvious attributes he's got in his locker, his strength, his pace, his finishing, his power. Look at the run he makes for that De Bruyne goal.
Well, exactly.
It's a textbook world-class forward run.
Don't underestimate the intelligence of Romelu Lukaku as a footballer as well, because often with players who are physically impressive, you describe them as machines or beasts and all this kind of stuff, and you think of smaller players as, you know, wildly intelligent like Kante or David Silva or something like that. The man has unbelievable football intelligence there with the runs he was making, and also just to take the pressure. We talked about Harry Kane in the Colombia game. Lukaku did it, you know, to the nth degree, taking the pressure off that Belgian back four, and they needed pressure to be alleviated at times for crying out. And Hazard as well, you know, another sort of dynamic and intelligent player as well, to do that, running into the corners, frustrating the Brazilians. And it took Miranda, who's a very, very canny operator at the back for Brazil, it took him about an hour to to begin to get to grips with Lukaku. Miranda's a big boy as well.
Yeah.
And so to boss that Brazil back line around a little bit, it was always going to take something quite monumental, because they are solid at the back, you know. And we haven't even mentioned De Bruyne's goal. What a strike that was. Yeah. We see him do that in the Premier League, but it was an arrow, Pete Donaldson.
An arrow.
One of those romantic ones, though.
No, the best compliment I can play Lukaku is when I was watching it, I was thinking he reminds me of the original Ronaldo.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he would take the ball, his touch would be kill it dead, he'd knock the ball past the defender, and he would just munch, just smash through him or run round him.
Yeah.
Like he would be going round, he's a big old unit, as we know, and he'd be going round smaller, you'd think quicker, in your mind you'd think quicker defenders.
Mm.
He did that thing which top strikers do, Marcus, where he knocks the ball down a line and he takes a longer arc off the pitch to go round them, but still gets there first. Yeah, and Ronaldo used to do that all the time. Uh-huh. And that's what it reminded me of. Of course, he didn't score, and that would have been the cherry on top. But he won that game for Belgium because he was able to open up the space for De Bruyne and Hazard. And Hazard and De Bruyne were fantastic as well. But for me, they were just terrified of Lukaku, and rightly so.
But Martinez set them up so well, really, because Chadli and Fellaini hadn't started. They came on in the previous game, and he put them in there.
Mm.
And that midfield three gave the front three license to do all that kind of stuff. And I think Martinez has to take credit.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, in international football, like it or not, that's not the biggest and most lucrative competition in the world. So, like, Most of the elite managers are in club football.
Yeah.
So Martinez, you'd probably argue, he's not the most underwhelming manager of the World Cup in that kind of top stratus of team that could actually challenge for it. I think he's probably up there, to be honest, in the way that
he's got great players.
Will help. But
he's making use of it, though.
How many times have teams like Belgium, teams like the Netherlands just fallen to bits just because they've got too many really, really decent players and they just can't play together?
Well,
and
people
just
are making a lot of, and rightly so, about,
and he's made good substitutions as well.
He has. People talking about the systems being better than individuals has been a lot of chat from this tournament. You know, you look at Sweden. At the time of recording, they're in a quarter final. They may well be in a semi final by the time people listen to this. But look at England as well. You know, England have had perhaps a better tournament, even if they go out to Sweden, depending on the manner of if they did go out, etc. and so on. You know, England, Sweden, Russia as well, and you would put Belgium in that category. The system is important, but of course, Belgium not only have the system, they have fantastic players, which is a worry for everybody.
Belgium are 5-2 second favourites for the tournament now. £10. A bet 365 returns £35, including stake. And just on that key players thing, it helps, I think, with Belgium that they don't have a standout star. They've got lots of really good players and lots of really good personalities.
Moussa Dembélé on the bench.
I know.
He'd be England's best midfielder.
But one of the lessons we've learned, I think, watching this World Cup is that it's sort of okay to have a standout star player, but you have to use them properly. You would say England's is Kane, but the type of character and the type of player he seems to be, it seems to not be a problem that he is the star man, and he seems to fit in nicely. But if you look at other teams with Neymar, Messi, one or two others,
it's just distractions.
It becomes almost detrimental.
You've got to get the ball to him, but if you give the ball to Kane, 9 times out of 10, he'll be in front of goal and he'll try and have a shot. So at least there's some end product there. But if you give it to Neymar, you might not get anything out of it.
Cristiano Ronaldo as well, by the way. He's gone as well.
A golden age for individualism in football, really, in a sense, when you look at that. Neymar is probably the biggest disappointment in the World Cup. Is that fair, given what was expected from him and given what we know he can produce?
I think VAR has brought the worst out in him, to a certain extent. I think to get any decisions, he thought, well, I've got to spend a lot of time on the floor, and the memes and all that stuff has kind of overshadowed a talented man plying his trade.
But Pete, I think that may be true, but he has always been like that.
Yeah, he's been particularly shitty.
I remember him when I was first aware of him, and I remember thinking, God, he spends a lot of time on the deck, this guy.
Yeah.
And don't forget, he was one who was being derided by pundits, you know, wrongly, of course, as being a bit of a YouTube player at one time. Because he spent a lot of time doing tricks and flicks and a lot of time diving around, and everyone sort of wrote him off early on. Mm. So he has always done that. I'm not saying it hasn't made it worse, but also, I mean, talk about saying he's been a disappointment or whatever. It is fine margins, though, because in that final minute, if he curls that in on the top corner, the momentum shifts towards Brazil. If I mean, anything can happen, and all of a sudden Neymar's inspired them to a quarterfinal win. So with a player like that, who's so well known and the pressure is so firmly on them, it's essentially shit or bust. Mm. There's no in between. No one's ever going to say, oh, Neymar had an okay game. Doesn't happen.
If he'd managed to put that like a few inches to the right, I don't think that would have been served.
It's a goal. It's a great save, and Courtois had a very good game. But what I mean is, throughout the tournament, we saw
examples. He's so tall, isn't he, Jim? Mm. He's taller than all the other keepers. So it's not really an achievement. Yeah, it's not an achievement if you're that
basically
tall.
Basically, a giant. There's no room in the goal.
Should have caught that in his arse cheek.
But I think the problem with Neymar, from a spectator's point of view, and this is someone who really wanted to see him do well, was the selfishness. Like, not releasing balls when he should have done, trying to take on three men when he had a pass on, just possibly because the pressure that's on him of him having to, you know, bring it home for Brazil. But he's 26 years old. He's a better player than that. We he doesn't play like that at his club side. He's a lot more of he displays a lot more intelligence and a lot more sort of teamwork, and it was really disappointing.
He's not had a good tournament in terms of his persona or image.
No.
Dad's point of view anyway. He loves the Neymar meme. He never gets involved in the World Cup, but I've been sent multiple Neymar memes.
I thought Stuart was concentrating on his Putin memes at the moment.
Yeah, he does like a bit of Putin. He likes a bit of he likes taking pictures of things he's written. Things he's read, in the newspaper.
Don't stitch your father up. But yeah, it's a shame, because actually I thought Neymar had, in terms of actual playing when he was on his feet, in the World Cup, his World Cup, I thought he did all right. Actually, I thought he wasn't bad. You know, he scored a couple of important goals.
But even when he set up, was a shot, wasn't it? That was saved.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah, but
it's a problem. It's not just that he takes all the pressure on his own shoulders. I think it's that part of the squad also put it on his shoulders. Yeah. Also look to him. Don't know which way to turn. Don't know what to do. You can't argue that Willian plays the same way for Brazil as we've seen him play for Chelsea. Mm. It's completely different, because he seems to think, oh, the ball never comes down my side anyway.
This is what Dybala said about Messi. He said, I find it hard to play with him because I just think, oh, I've got the ball, I should probably give it to Messi. And Dybala's a fantastic player, as we know. He scored some great goals for Juventus and so on. And I think it's a shame, because Chichi, as the Brazilians call him, seems like quite a level-headed bloke. I thought he had great balance in his side. I mean, even after the game, he said, Brazil have a lot of top players and finished well. For all the pain I feel right now, if you like football, you have to watch this game. It's going to give you pleasure. You know, that's really, what would be the word?
Gracious
and sort of gentlemanly stuff.
I thought
the
Uruguay manager said the exact same thing. He was like going, look, you know, this isn't this. He said something about dreams and says it's the end of one dream, but more dreams will come and stuff like that.
Yeah. He also said that, you know, no complaints, France were a better team and all that. But, I mean, Belgium obviously going to the semi-final against France, and you'll get 10-1 on Lukaku to be top scorer at the tournament with Bet365 now. £10 returns, £110, including stake. He deserved one yesterday, didn't he?
Mm, he really did. Belgium, unbeaten in 24. They've won 5 out of 5 at the tournament. They've scored a lot of goals, I think 14 in total.
Got a hand to Martinez. I've criticised him, but you got a hand to him after last night.
You do indeed. Well, we're going to talk about their semi-final opponents, France, after this.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Bon fait.
Ça va être le but. Meunier pour Lucas.
Il va le faire.
Et c'est...
Je l'ai dit, bordel. Je l'ai dit. Je l'ai dit.
Bon fait.
Ça va être le but. Meunier pour Lucas.
Il va le faire.
Et c'est...
Je l'ai dit, bordel. Je l'ai dit. Je l'ai dit.
Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble, everybody. Uruguay are out. They were beaten 2-0 by the French. Sadly, this one will be remembered, probably, for Muslera's error for Griezmann's goal. Oh, it was a bad one.
It was.
He tried to tip it when he could possibly have held it, and I think that's what muffed it up.
Fair to say Gary Neville's a bit annoyed about it.
Oh, Gary Neville was really on one, wasn't he?
I don't know what ITV have done to Gary Neville.
It was like a different person.
Brought him down to their level. He was like, he was angry at Jimenez about him crying in the wall and stuff. He's like, calling him a, you know, all this stuff.
I know.
What was it, the quote? I have no words. Well, actually, I do have words because I've just used them. That was my habit.
I have no more words.
Very smart. He also said when Hugo Lloris made that incredible save, I forget who from, he said, I'm of the opinion that every shot should be saved.
Every shot on
every
target.
Every shot. Not happy unless like a league season finishes 0-0 in every game.
I like the way he says every shot on target. Well, one that's not on target is not going to go in. Yeah. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, ignore those words. That's mad. Like that is, I appreciate, you know, what he's saying and, you know, the standards he sets for himself and all that Roy Keane style gibberish, but like that, it just disregards reality. Just disregards.
he's obviously not said what he means.
I do think there's been a feeling for a while, certainly in the Moore camp, that Neville's a better pundit than he is co-commentator. I don't think his voice is quite not necessarily that, but just the tempo of the voice and when he comes in. I think co-commentators are good because they're quite sort of one step back, if you know what I mean. Just chip it. Neville seems to want to be involved all the time.
I don't like the ones that try and get like pally or mock the commentator and stuff.
You're not going to slag off Koisty here, are you?
And if you're going to slag off Laura, you'll have me to deal with. Yeah. Oh, it's the football ramble.
Exactly.
You and Laura have got a weird little loving going on here that he's Laura, unaware of, to be fair.
Yeah, what's happened to you?
You've switched massively.
But for me, Laura is the sort of guy that, because you know, I'll tell you how I can best explain this. So it depends what type of person you are. If you go into a room and there's a really sort of embarrassing like person in there
and can't help gravitate towards him because you want to watch them what mad shit they'll do,
yeah, because sometimes people find that really embarrassing and they cringe on behalf of that person, they can't deal with it and they have to leave the room, whereas I'm the sort of I think it's fascinating, and Loro's very much like that to me. I sit there watching or listening to Loro, looking forward to what he's going to say or do next.
Yeah.
So that's why I like him.
That's what I mean. Luke, get on.
But yeah, exactly.
Is it also that you need some company in your VAR trench?
Yeah, a little bit.
I think it's disgusting.
I'm sat in that trench with the Washington Post now, Jim, though, so it feels a little bit more comfortable.
I feel a bit sorry.
It's you, Rod.
Muslera's 32 years old. He's been a wonderful servant for
100 caps, Marcus. Yeah, over 100
over
caps.
100 caps. It's a great shame for him. You'd expect it to be his last World Cup, unless he was maybe sort of second or third choice for the next one.
The great thing about that is that I think Watford might well have done a deal for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh really?
Before yesterday.
But it just slipped through their fingers.
No, I can imagine him picking up the phone through his agent. He's not answering now. The agent's not answering. Leave a voicemail. Yeah, we want to talk to you about that deal because that was a little bit shit. Agent's not. He's screening the calls.
He picks up the phone, drops it.
The interesting thing about the Muslera era was that, to me, in principle, it was almost exactly the same as the Loris Karius era in the Champions League final.
I thought you were going to say Pat Bonner.
It was a bit similar to that, yeah. It was a bit similar.
It did move in the air.
But Pat tried to catch that.
Yeah.
Paddy Bonner tried to catch that.
He did.
What Muslera's trying to do there is he's trying to parry it out.
Yeah.
Whereas what Karius was trying to do was catch it to release it quick and took his eye off it. But the principle was the same. Muslera was doing that because they're already losing the game. If it was 0-0, he's not doing that. So he's probably going to catch it and he's probably going to roll it out because they always like to build up from the back. But he was trying to get it going as quick as possible and he took his eye off it.
Well, France always looked like they could turn it up a notch if needs be. They're looking dangerous like that.
They're a funny team, aren't they? It seems to me that they let the other team set the agenda, play to that agenda, and then win, effectively.
It's quite sort of it's quite a bit reactive. Of German efficiency about
definitely.
Them.
Definitely.
Bit of a sort of an Italian kind of...
mentality towards it as
well. I'll tell you who, by the way, is having an absolutely shocking World Cup, and that's Jose Mourinho.
Have you been keeping up with him?
Because Lukaku looked amazing.
Paul Pogba's a brilliant guy.
For a minute, I thought you've been watching Russia Today.
No.
You've been keeping up with his punditry. I was thinking to myself, enjoy the summer off.
I haven't seen a second of his punditry, but I have seen quite a lot of the players that play for him regularly doing a lot better.
Fellaini.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Luke Shaw looks in good
nick. I was going to say, he scored a hat-trick with his mates the other day. Yeah.
And then his top off and looked ripped.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. Absolutely everything.
But I Griezmann almost didn't want to accept the goal, did he?
Yeah, that was a funny
one. He looked
one.
Embarrassed by it.
That's right.
Yeah, Griezmann also crying?
I don't know about that. He was saying before the game that he loves Uruguay and he feels like part Uruguayan. And
I mean, he was saying that too much before the game.
He was a bit too much. Yeah. And some of the Atleti players were just like, yeah, you know what he's like. And then Luis Suarez just said, well, he's not Uruguayan at all. He's no idea what it's to be Uruguayan. And basically just went, shut up.
Yeah. Do you think Luis Suarez has ever told or enjoyed a joke? I don't reckon he has.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
it's a very small country. There's no room for jokes.
Yeah.
No room for jokes, guys, in Uruguay.
Yeah, but surely everyone's just heard them.
Yeah.
you go to say, well, yeah.
Yeah. It's like hearing all your dad's jokes. Like, Dad, you did that one ages ago. Isabel Nacerina bite, yes, it is.
My grandmother always tells jokes and then cracks up laughing at his own jokes. And then when you say to him, Grandad, you're not supposed to laugh at your own jokes, he says, well, you don't know, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Paul Pogba had another good game.
He did, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly my point. Mourinho.
And I'm trying to think, who else?
Wayne Rooney has moved twice and now there's a Wayne Rooney day in Washington, D.C.
I personally enjoyed David De Gea, though. I personally enjoyed, let's call it outfield. Players. It's always the caveat with goalkeepers. I've personally enjoyed every single Mourinho player in the first game of the World Cup emerge out of the tunnel like someone who's been kept in a basement for 5 years.
What is this beautiful
rubbing their eyes, looking at a football like it's been like a caveman discovering fire, yeah, like poking it, yeah. And then being brilliant.
Eating a dragonfly.
Yeah, but you know, that was amazing, wasn't it? That was so grim.
I forgot about that.
Do you think it's because he's got his gloves on, he's just got to gob it out of his mouth? It was so grim.
Like when sometimes a goalkeeper gets a defender over to do his shoelaces. Yeah. Defender jogs over, what do you need, shoelaces? It? Dragonfly.
Protein, mate. Protein. We all need protein.
Do you think that if you played under Jose Mourinho, to then go and play for Roberto Martinez would be just the tonic?
Yeah, love it. Yeah. Do what I want.
Strangely,
it.
Yeah.
Did you know that when that dragonfly came out of Lloris's mouth, it had like a Nike tick on it? It was actually a viral advert, like a bit of guerrilla marketing.
Was it the England dragonfly?
It was a tiny drone.
The absence of Edison Cavani was huge for Uruguay, wasn't it?
That was the huge problem for them. I mean, you know, if you take it in the context of Premier League fantasy football, when your team gets a clean sheet, your defenders, your goalkeeper, and your midfielders will get points for that. Mm. Your forwards don't. And that's wrong. That's outdated in the modern game. And I'll tell you why, because in the modern game, defending starts from the front. Cavani was missed as much for his defensive qualities as he was for his attacking threat. Mm. And when you have a drop-off from Cavani to Stuani, and obviously I'm basing that mostly on his Middlesbrough career, I haven't seen much since, and fair enough, I might be wrong, but to me, the drop-off looks very, very obvious.
Yeah,
yeah.
And obviously you take away the 50% of that partnership, but defensively, Cavani he's just a real hassle as well, and they missed that badly. It was almost like Uruguay didn't have enough to disrupt the French sort of rhythm. Suarez almost like couldn't do it on his own. No.
There was a point actually where Suarez got very frustrated with Stuani, wasn't he? Because a piece of play broke down.
He had a really easy ball to play and he put it out of play.
Right,
yeah.
From the left, yeah. From the right.
It was the first time in a competitive match that Cavani and Suarez didn't start together since March 2017. You break up a partnership like that, which has been so crucial, then it was always going to be very, very difficult, you know. But one of the Uruguayan players, Laxalt, down one of the flanks at the fullback, gave a good account of himself. Yeah, you were enjoying that performance.
I think he's a really good player. It's a player I've not really seen an awful lot of before this tournament. I know he's been at Genoa for a while, and maybe we'll have to ask old Hornzo
about him. Hornzo.
But for me, I was surprised by just how much ground he covers against, obviously, a genuinely really good team. Mm. There was one point where he was up supporting an attack in the sort of left wing position, and the ball broke with Mbappe, who I'm led to believe is quite quick. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, Laxalt just appeared in the penalty area defending. Like, it must have been 5 seconds later.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's got a real engine on him. I thought he did really well. I think he's had a good tournament. He looks a bit like a sort of bad rapper in the fact that he's got like the old the old braids and cornrows and all that kind of stuff.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
So I'm not too big on these sartorial choices, but I mean, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So no. I'll stick to his footballing stuff, and I thought he was very good, and I think he'll be a miss at the tournament.
Okay. Well, we have fixtures today, gentlemen.
Before we have those, though, I should just point out that France are 2-1 favourites to win the World Cup now.
Oh.
£10 with Bet365 returns £30, including stake. I hope they get tested against Belgium. I think it'll be a good game.
It will be a good game.
And I hope to see Philippe Albert again in the pre-match again.
Did you see him?
He was on telly. He was on telly before the Belgium match.
Just doing overhead kicks.
Well, if you're Belgium or France, you know, if you come through that game, you'd fancy yourself in the final, really, wouldn't you? I mean,
fancy it either of those days. Yeah, I'm not being funny. I know I criticised Gareth Southgate's choices in the Belgium match, but oh, that side of the draw looks horrible. Yeah. It looks fucking horrible.
But that's the thing, though. You look at the players France and Belgium have. I mean, with the exception of Croatia's midfield pairing, there's not that much else in sort of comparison in the rest of the group.
Is this a joke?
What?
Are you forgetting about someone?
I am.
Who are you forgetting about?
Those Swedes. Those magnificent Swedes. Yeah. And of course, England do play Sweden today.
When he says magnificent Swedes, all he's thinking about is Ulrika Johnson and Sven-Göran Eriksson in his head.
Or some lovely mashed Swede with a bit of roast beef.
Oh.
Which we'll be having later.
Le roast beef.
Someone sent me a Swedish fan.
Swedish fan?
No, well, put it on, mate. Wow. It's boring, isn't
it? A Swedish fan sent us a video on the Facebook group, which was made in Sweden, basically just talking about how terrible their team are,
right,
and how they're all a bunch of nobodies that play for these pointless little teams. So, like, yeah, you're going to win, England. Get confident. I've got mind games. I don't like it from
Sweden. Sweden are very much taking the line of, oh, England always underestimate us. That's and England think that they're better than us. And actually, listen to Gareth Southgate. He is at pains to say he always underestimate these guys. We're not going to do it this time, and so on. And
oh
so
no,
forth.
We did it again.
Yeah, what really makes me laugh is people in pubs are saying that. I've seen you get a little bit jittery about that sort of thing, Marcus. It's fine for me to underestimate Sweden. It's absolutely fine as long as the players don't.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine, but it's weird how you get into.
Well,
this
that's
mindset.
The thing. Yeah, don't like if it. Well, no matter what the English tabloids are saying. You know, like, as you say, it doesn't matter. What's the team and the players trying to say and do?
In World Cup 90, Bobby Robson, I think it was World Cup 90, after the tournament, was asked about Cameroon and whether they underestimated them.
Yeah.
And he said, we didn't underestimate them. They were just far better than we thought. And I hope we're not saying that about Sweden. Yeah.
Well, I think we said in the last bit, like, Sweden is going to be pretty much the same as our last match, but with less fighting,
yeah,
less possibly. Punching and less kicking. Sweden don't win matches, but they don't lose them either. I could see it going to penalties.
Well, do you know what? That's my worry, because England have now gone, yeah, we did this with the penalties, and that was our technique there. And so you've given everything away.
But then also England. I mean, yeah, but if you hit penalties like that, you're probably going to score them every single time. Even Henderson probably going to put his away. That's what.
They're going to not let. Cursing they're going to take
left,
Pickford's.
Right,
they're going to take Pickford's water bottle away.
Do you want to go out?
The thing I worry about is that England haven't created many chances.
That's
actually,
right, yeah.
And Sweden very good defensively, and I think England might struggle there. Sweden themselves actually, to be fair, have created chances. Even against Germany, they created a few. Against Switzerland, a very stubborn side, they created chances there. So England have got to be at the races. A
couple of things worry me about it. One of which is Sweden's three clean sheets to England's none.
Yeah.
They're very, very good at that. I also think as well, this underestimation thing is a problem, because England could not underestimate Sweden, and Sweden could still win for those two reasons, that they're very good defensively. We're not creating enough from open play. It might be a very set-piece heavy game again. And also, I don't think Sweden would play for penalties, but they would certainly be a lot more comfortable with the idea of it than we would, even just having come out of a penalty shootout. So that's another thing that goes in their favour. I think what needs to be said about this game as well is that this is as much a World Cup quarterfinal as it is if it would be against Germany,
yes,
you know, or Brazil. Like, Sweden are there because they deserve to be there. And I'm nervous.
I think Sweden will be a puzzle that England have to solve,
yes,
more than a sort of you have a go, we have a go type thing. I don't think, I've said I go at Pete for tempting fate. At the risk of tempting fate, I think it's a game England should win.
If you can't beat Sweden, you've got no right to be in the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And Sweden, and let's be fair here. Of course, Sweden have grown into the tournament and they've done very well, particularly after that gut punch against Germany to turn it around. Mm. But they didn't even think they were going to qualify. Mm. I mean, they were absolutely. I remember vividly, they were excited to even qualify, to even be there. And when they got that draw, no one thought Sweden would come out of the group. So they're. I think Sweden have got the air of a team who are a bit like, quarterfinal is about as far as they can go. But England have got to do their job. It's the same. Mm. In a way, it's different to the Colombia game because of the profile of the team. But in a way, it's the same because it's a team. If England do their job properly, they'll win the game. But it depends how England approach it and, again, how they execute it.
Yeah, very true. In the other semi-final, I was going to say Russia v Croatia. That's a quarter-final, very much so. Although, is it? Are the Russians tinkering? Are they going to put themselves in the...
No, it is a quarter-final.
Yeah. They play Croatia, of course. And it's a tough one to call because of the reasons of this World Cup being a bit mental and so on and so forth. I think if the Russian fans... have the same sort of vibe like they did against Spain, that's exactly what the team needs. If suddenly they go, oh, well, we expect to go through, which I don't think they will, then...
I like Russia here. I like them.
Yeah.
I think they've got a really, really good chance. They've got a better chance than anyone's given them. I think Croatia have their own problems. I think wasn't impressed at all with Croatia in the last round.
No.
I thought Russia were impressive at what they did and how they executed their game plan against Spain. And it'll be such a partisan crowd, which will make a difference. And given that they're playing against the team who, in the knockout phase, generally speaking, have struggled to live up to their potential, I think it's a bit of a heady mix for Croatia. A bit of a heady brew. Yeah. I wonder if they could deal with it.
They can't play it as badly and as disjointedly as they did last
match. Wait and see. You wait and see. Yeah.
Well, this is it with Croatia, isn't it? It's almost like one match on, one match off. So if the Croatia that beat Argentina turns up, that'd be a very, very different story. Maybe Argentina's being terrible will help them with that.
No, but I think it's group stage on, knockout stage off.
Right.
I think with Croatia.
But then maybe they've turned the screw with that penalty shootout win. But anyway, Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
Yeah, we've got another best bet. And we're going to go with Russia v Croatia. And I've selected Russia and Croatia to go to penalties at 4-1. Doesn't matter who wins, as long as it goes to penalties. £50 with Bet365 returns £250, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, begambleaware.org. Our best bet with Bet365 is Russia v Croatia to go to penalties.
There we are. Before we leave you, we've got some correspondy, Petey.
We have got some correspondy. My phone's just doing silly buggers. But here we are. Lars Laurissons. Hello, Lars Laurissons.
Oh, he sounds Swedish. Get him out. Get him out.
Ramblers Ho. We haven't had a ho for a while, so I thought I'd stick it in because it's a World Cup special and it's not canon in many ways. just a quick message from Belgium. Even though you don't do emails in the World Cup Rambles, we occasionally do, Lars. Easy. Cheers from Antwerp, senior final. You stupid little slugs.
Okay. We'll be doing. Hopefully, this time tomorrow, we'll be doing a rendition of Easy, but we may well not be.
Easy like Sunday morning. Andrew Murray says, during 2004, I was 16, and we were all watching the England versus Portugal quarterfinal match around a mate's house. It was a 1-1 in the second half of extra time, and England attack at pace. My mate, the host, urges everyone to put their drinks down in case we score, because we were talking, or rather, I was basically saying, put your goddamn drinks down before you celebrate. So we don't chuck the lager all over his mum's living room carpet. I told him he was going to jinx it, and not 30 seconds later, Portugal promptly fly up the other end on the break, and Rui Costa scores. I turned to my mate and screamed at him outright that the goal was his fault. Do not put your beer down in anticipation of a goal. Now, that's different to what I'm saying. Penalty shootout, it's a different thing. Yeah. You know goals are going to fly in.
Yep.
Well, this is the thing. I think there's a line to be drawn here around what we're seeing on video of people celebrating.
Just throwing beers around.
I think if you are caught up in the moment and you're drinking a beer and England score a goal or your team score a goal and it spills through emotion, let it spill, brother.
Drop it.
Let it spill. If you plan to wait for England to put the ball in the back of their end and a penalty and then launch your beer in the air as far as you can, one, you're wasting your own beer.
Yeah.
And two, you're going to get other people wet for no reason.
If you're in the north, beer's a little cheaper.
Yeah.
If you're in London and you're throwing beers around, if a man can run away from a terrorist attack with a beer in his hand and not spill it,
true.
Those beers are expensive. So don't throw them around, guys.
Would you tear up a £5 note and throw it in the air? No, you
yes,
can't because they're plastic now. But in theory, would you do it?
I guess you'd have to burn it.
I've actually seen Pete do that.
Yeah. Really? Ben Pittman. Ben Pittman. Hello, Ben. Hi, chaps. I managed to stumble upon this today. I'm sure Petey will enjoy this. I will. Apparently, Philippe Albert, Belgium and Newcastle legend, went a bit rogue with his commentating during the last minute of Belgium versus Japan, shouting, je l'ai dit bordel. I said brothel. I don't know, and no one has any idea why I shouted it.
Very on brand for Philippe. Very on brand.
Yeah.
That's strange.
So apparently, like, people have like made t-shirts of je l'ai dit bordel. So,
what's he going to do when they win it?
I know.
Well, I think we know, don't we?
Yeah, I don't think I want to know.
Philippe Albert, everyone knows his name.
Yeah. They do now, Peter.
Rupert the Bear song.
Ah!
Rainbow, of course.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to end on that high note there from Pete Donaldson.
Now, can we end, Marcus, with you giving us a Jerry Springer sort of type final word ahead of the England game?
Yeah. And now for my final thought. play well, play fair, play firmly. Have a crying out loud win.
Yeah.
Sounds like a mattress.
but win. Thanks for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We're all off to watch the match. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
Go on, England!
Goodbye from me in London. London, goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.